for the sake of those of you who are new, we've been studying the book of Philippians, and we've been studying the book of Philippians for 1 year odd now, coming to 2 years. We won't finish this book this year, by the way we are going. But I'm very sure that next year we will finish it, okay? But one of the things that I've come to appreciate about the book of Philippians is the way in which Paul writes. And he writes in such a, you know, that is full of heart, that full of life, full of how he feels concerning the Lord, concerning the church in Philippi, and he expresses himself in many ways. Okay, of course he was, as what Jane has highlighted today, that he was very concerned about the kind of false teachings that was spreading. And it became a concern for him as he wrote to them, and he warned them about the Judaizers, how they can influence in such a wrong way. And sometimes these things can be very clear, sometimes it can be very subtle, and yet at the same time, it can be very dangerous and damaging. So Paul wrote very clearly, and he also set himself as an example of what he used to be, how zealous he was to be a Hebrew, to really follow after the law, to have the kind of confidence in the flesh. Okay? Now, and then he began to explain further how he understood this. So today we are going to do a bit of spiritual accounting. Okay? We are going to talk about gains and loss, or profits and loss. Okay? You can come out with your own statement. But we all need to, time and time again, and ask ourselves, you know, if we were to do an evaluation of our own lives, our own spiritual life, and ask ourselves, how much have we really gained or think that we have gained, and how much have we really lost, and how much have we truly, truly gained in our lives? Okay, so that's something for us to think about. Because Paul raises up that, you see, the thing about false teachings and anything that is contrary to the truth, we tend to think that we have gained. This is what it means for us to cultivate our faith. This is what it means for us to pursue our faith and our lives. But yet at the same time, what is considered as gain, and that's what Paul is trying to say here in verse 7. Okay, but what things were gained to me? What things were gained to me? So for much of his life, or earlier in his life, he pursued all these things, right? So all these things that he talked about earlier, that he was, you know, circumcised, stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, he was a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and all these things concerning righteousness, which is of the law. So he pursued all these things. You just imagine this great, you know, thinker. He's, you know, he's a Pharisee. He's a famous Jew. And, you know, he did so many things with great zeal. And, you know, he just pursued it with every fiber of his, you know, his life and everything. His mind, his heart, everything. He pursued it. This is what I want to live for. And he thought, wow, this is what gain is all about. This to me is gain. There is, you know, there's authority. You know, he's given authority to persecute the Christians. He was famous. There was, you know, and so many things that he gained as a result. But yet at the same time, is that the kind of gain that we should have? Right? And he says, what things were gained to me, this heritage, this lie that I put so much of my energy, so much of myself into. This, you know, what I considered once as gain to me, this I've counted loss. So all these things, you can list down, all these things once was considered gain. Now, it's a reevaluation. So there's a change of accounting principles, you know. Suddenly he realized that his perspective of how he considered as gain was now changed into loss. One by one, he strike off. This is loss, this is loss, this is loss, this is loss, this is loss. Just imagine that. Suddenly his whole perspective changed. Once he thought this was gain. I mean, you can, you know, just, well, to me that is, wow, that's really tough. Right? We need to think this through very carefully. How do you look at accounting? I wasn't very good at accounting. I mean, when I was in university, I had to do accounting 101, and wow, it was terrible. I had no idea what was happening. And then at the end of the day, every semester, about 40% of the cohort would fail. Wow, thank God I was part of the 60%. I didn't want to do it again. It was terrible. You know, I just thank God that, you know, how many accountants here? Or did accounting? 1, 2, 3. Wow, a few. Well, thank God for you. Please go ahead and do whatever you have been doing, you know. But not for me. I wasn't an accounting person. Right, Jane? You're not an accounting person. No. Yeah, that's fine. You know, and, but you know what you, so what you account as you look at your life and you determine as truly gain or loss. So he looked at all these things that he used to do in his life with a great sense of fervor, energy, poured everything. You know what? I'm going to look up for all these Christians. I'm going to persecute them. I'm going to bring them into prison. Wow, you know, day, night, day, night, day, night. That's what he did. He pursued it. And then he came to know the Lord. And then he recognized, my goodness, all these things, one by one, this is what we call a write-off. One by one, he write them off. This is what I did, write off. What is I did, write off. It is considered as lost. You know, sometimes you look back at your own life, and you look at all the things that we used to do, and you ask yourself, was that gain? Or was that loss? And I, you know, it's a frightening thought. This week, I just got an SMS from somebody. And she said, you know, this week, my brother just got released from prison. 5 years he was in prison. 5 years. And he is adjusting back, and she's just so happy. Thank God that he's out. And he's, you know, finding his way back. But 5 years in prison. 5 years of your life gone. That's loss. You look at your own life and you ask yourself, all these years, you know? So if we have been in, you know, caught up with false teachings and things like that, what do you call that? Do we call that gain? Or do we call it loss? You know, once, I mean, I mentioned this before, and considering the Sabbath issue, and when I was in Perth, I was still very much younger then in terms of my faith and understanding. I didn't know a lot of things. But there were some people who were talking about, you know, oh, you must keep the Sabbath, you cannot buy and sell things, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. You cannot study, which I didn't mind, you know. That's fine. But you know what? You must be holy. Okay, you must go to church twice a day. You could go in, you know, and all these things. And I did it, and I thought, okay, this is what it means. And I think I came back, and then pastor told me, Actually, no. That's not a right perspective. Huh? You mean I can buy and sell on Sunday? Yes. Oh, that means I have to study on a Sunday. But you know, wrong thinking, all kinds of false teaching, we tend to think that, okay, this is what it means to live out our lives. But actually, what if it's not? What if it's not meant to be? What if at the end of the day, all the effort that you put in is counted as loss? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, this word, loss, semeia, okay, and 1 Corinthians 3, semeia. So you look at 1 Corinthians 3, and then, Paul talks about the foundation, that some are gold, silver, some are wood, hay, straw. And then you have this idea of the works. Right, each one's works will be revealed. And if anyone's, so verse 14, if anyone's work which he built on endures, it will receive, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Same word that is used here. Loss. That means you're not talking about salvation here. Salvation is assured. That's why he says, right? But he himself will be safe, yet so as through fire. But you will suffer loss. Because thinking that this is how I should build my life or build my faith upon the foundation, maybe the foundation is correct. But then you're building upon it. But instead of gold, silver, you know what? You're building with hay, straw, and you put it through the fire. And it's all burnt. What is the point of all that? You can work, you can serve, you can tend to think that you're doing God's work, but you're doing it wrongly. What is the point of that? You know, at the end of the day, it will all be lost. And that's why the Corinthian churches, you know, they had struggles. They had all kinds of struggles. They did things that were wrong. They had sin, they had problems, and Paul had to address it. Okay? Let's go back to Philippians 3. And so it came to a point where, let's look at verse 7. And it says here, right? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Now, this is the use of the perfect tense. So what things he were, that were gained to me, he has already counted it as loss. Okay? It came to a point in time in the past, he saw it as something that is lost. The word counted, okay? This word, hegeomai, basically it means to deem, okay? To deem, to consider, to count as. So it's his assessment of these things. And then he realized that, you know what? He has come to a point to count them as loss. And it is the use of what we call the perfect tense. That means it's something that is already, he has already been able to count as loss in the past. And the effect of that is that he will, you know, see these things in his life. That's why he goes on to say in verse, now the focus is for Christ. These I've counted loss for Christ. The focus changes towards Christ. Okay, and then in verse 8, he says, yet indeed I also count all things loss. Okay, so first, he talks about this heritage that he used to be part of. These I've counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also. Now, then he uses a number of words here. Yet, indeed I also. You know, it's like emphasizing this contrast that he's making. Okay? And he's trying to emphasize this. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost. Now, he expands this idea to all things. So it's no longer just about his heritage, but all things, everything. Okay? And then he uses this word again, count, hegomai. Now, here he uses what we call the present tense. So as much as it's something that has already been determined as loss, he continues to count it as loss. See, it's not just a point in time. We can, at a point in time, say, okay, you know what, this is no good for me. This is loss for me. But whether that continues is another thing. So for him, it is a continuing counting. You know, accounting, you have to keep counting, right? It's every month, and especially at the end of the month, you go and do your profit and loss or whatever statements that you have to make. And right? And then just being able to say, okay, we need to determine this. And that's what Paul does. He continues in the use of the present tense. It is a continuous counting, deeming, recognizing that these things, all things, are lost. So all things. You know, you look at your life and you ask yourself, what is lost? Right? So now we're having the Asian Games and we're very excited. Okay, you know, schooling, you did very well. And we were, you know, wow, suddenly within 3 minutes, right? His 100 meter, 100 butterfly, that was about 51 seconds, right? And then he swam his 50 meter butterfly, which is 20 something seconds. You know, that's less than one and a half minutes, right? And he makes 300,000 in 1.5 minutes. Wow. That's quite, not bad, huh? But yeah, at the same time, right? You know, for me, when I was playing water polo and playing at the SEA Games and things like that, there was no money. We do it for the love of the country. Not really. It was joy for the... Okay, it's for the nation too, but... You know, then I asked myself, after training, you know, I was training like 4 or 5 hours a day. 2 hours in the morning, 2 or 3 hours in the night, every day. And I asked myself, wow, that was a lot of training. A lot of time spent. Where did they all go? What was all that time? So, you know, it came to a point in time in which I asked myself, no, this is not something that I really wanted to give so much time to. So much effort, so much energy. I was also getting very, very tired of it. And I really wanted to grow in my faith, and that's why I decided that, no, I just wanted to stop. You know, and yet at the same time, you know, those are lost. Those things, all the things that we have done in our lives, it is all lost. Right? What is it to us today? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah? All things lost. It could be, you know, anything. You people tend to go for riches. You know, so now you have the latest show, Crazy Rich Asians, and everybody is just hyped about it and talking about it, and it's just crazy, you know? It's like... Right? Rich and crazy, and you know, okay, we appreciate that. A lot of publicity. This is Singapore. Well, not Singapore, it's all, not all like that. Right? But is that all? And sometimes we think about all these things and what's that all about? And yet, do you see it as gain? Or do you see it as loss? And Paul said, you know, I count all these things. It could be material possessions. It could be the status that he had. It could be anything. but he counts them as loss. All things loss. Right? And he says, for whom, right, I have suffered the loss of all things. Yeah, sometimes loss may seem painful. But yet, at the same time, is it all that painful? So again, he uses this word, right? He has suffered the loss of all things and then count them as rubbish. You know, this is a interesting word, skubalon, right? Whether you call it dung or rubbish. But he deemed that as rubbish. What do you deem as rubbish? Okay, go to your dustbin, go to your... Okay, this is deemed as rubbish. Okay, you know what? Whatever I throw into the dustbin is deemed as rubbish, right? You are willing to throw it. Okay, it could be bad food, it could be things that you don't want anymore, things you just want to throw. I'm a person who just likes to throw things. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a hoarder. Anything that I've not used for like maybe 6 months or a year, okay, you know what, either you give it away or, well, not food though, but, you know, anything that is not expired, still, okay, you want to give away, but anything that's expired, you just throw, right? And you would deem it as rubbish. What would you deem as rubbish? So Paul looks at all these things and he says, you know what, I considered all these things as loss. I continue to consider them as loss. In fact, I continue to see it as rubbish. What do you see as rubbish? What do you see as dung? Right? Be done with dung. It is not something that you want to continue to hold on to. What would you give up? If you see these things as gain, then it is gain to you. And that's why we tend to hold on to these things. Because you see it as gain. You know, I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. Because it is gain to me. But if my perspective changes, you know, what was gain once is now lost. Now, let's look at the other side. And Paul writes in verse 8, he says, I consider all these things. I count them as loss. I count them as rubbish. I suffered all these things. Why? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Right? We need to think this through. What is it that we really count as loss and what is it that we really count as gain? I mean, let's just very quickly go down the list. And then before we go into, you know, we're going to go into our discussion groups. And maybe it's something that you want to think about. What is it that you count as loss and what do you really count as gain? For Paul, it is to gain the knowledge, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord. Right? The word excellence is, you know, it is to excel, is to hold above, something that is above, okay, and to hold on to it, to have it. And, you know, it's talking about something that is supreme. The supremacy of the Word of God, the knowledge, is something that we must see as gain. If we don't see that the knowledge, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ as something that is gain, then you know what? We will not pursue it as we will want to. We will continue to pursue the things that we deem as gain personally from our own perspective. But what if these things are lost? So Paul talks about the knowledge of Christ. He's been writing about it throughout the book of Philippians, whether it's about the affections of Christ, whether it's about the gospel of Christ, whether it's about the consolation of Christ, his mindset, chapter 2, right? His exaltation, all that Paul has written about Christ has to do with knowledge, and not only just knowledge, the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. I was just talking to someone this week, and sometimes we are, you know, we gain some, a little bit of growth, we move forward a little bit, and we tend to think that, okay, you know what, we are doing well, and we become satisfied. And you know what, that is not the best approach, very honestly. Because it says here, we must go on to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. And I dare say that we all do not have this excellence of the knowledge of Christ. It is something that I personally continue to pursue. Do we have excellence in the knowledge of Christ? Excellence is important. For Paul, he pursued it, and you know, this to him was gain. We must move on wherever we are. We must consider these, that which is in the past, what is in that's before. We must consider all these things as loss, so that we want to be able to move on to the next level, to the greater excellence of things. You know, I really appreciate what Pastor is seeking to do. So he's going to take time to reach out a little bit more to the older folks. So he's going to write for them. He's going to take a bit of time, you know, for with the SSS4. Once a month, we'll have breakfast, and we want to invite these who are willing to, you know, pursue knowledge of Christ. So we hope to give them study Bibles, large prints. Don't laugh. Actually, I use a large print. Yes, because if without my glasses, I have glasses, I can't see, you know, with, in fact, my Greek Bible, I really can't see. I need my glasses to actually see it. So I have a large print. That's why it's so thick. See, my Bible is one of the thickest around, right? Because it's a study Bible, and but I need a new cover, though. It's breaking up. Why not pursue the excellence of the knowledge of Christ? Why not go on to the next level? Consider all these things as loss. Move on to the next level, that I may gain Christ. That's what he says in verse 8, that I may gain Christ himself. You know, this is something that we want to appreciate. This is Paul's purpose of life. Okay, it says here, that I may gain Christ. Now, this is what we call a hina. Okay? And usually, this is translated as that. And this, when you are in combination with what we call the subjunctive. Okay? So here we have, that I may gain Christ. And oftentimes when you have, when Paul writes with the word may, it's actually a clue to say that this may be what we call the subjunctive. The idea of the subjunctive, or this is what we call aorist subjunctive, is that it is to indicate purpose. So Paul is writing with purpose that I may gain Christ. You see, because if you see something as gain, you will make it your purpose. If you see it as something as loss, you know what? You are considered as, forget about it. This is gone. This is rubbish. Better to throw it away. But if you see it as gain, as profit, as something that is truly worthwhile, you will make it your purpose in life. So it goes back to, what is our purpose in our lives? What are we here for? What is our lives for? What is it that we have been given for us to pursue. What is our purpose? You know, my purpose is really to strive for this excellence of the knowledge of Christ, to know His Word so much more. You know, I've been enjoying the prophetic books. You know, Pastor's been writing to the session, Book of Jeremiah. It's now in chapter 42. Yes. We went through Amos, now we're going to Habakkuk, and I'm just enjoying it. Right? You know, beautiful verses along the way. Seek God and live. Should not we do that? Seek God and live. Wow. And I'm having this, I'm bringing this personal study of Isaiah also. Partly, of course, preparation for family camp. And it's just a very fascinating study. I'm doing this also partly for morning devotions with the staff and all. But my own personal study of the book of Isaiah and about the prophets and how they search for the knowledge of Christ. Are we pursuing the knowledge? Are we pursuing the excellence of the knowledge? Are we gaining Christ in our life? Of course, this is something that we would recognize that it has to do with righteousness, right? That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We will talk about that next Saturday. Right? But what are we pursuing in life? Okay? Now, so I would like you to go into your groups and I'd like you to think this through very carefully. What do you consider as loss? What do you consider as gain? And if it's truly gain in your life, and the question is it your purpose in life? And I don't mean just in theory. I don't mean just in aspiration. It must be something that's in your life. Whether it is the way you look at the Lord's word and pursuing it, how you look at Christ, how do you serve, what is your purpose? To gain Christ. You know, you look at Christ, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Same word that is used there. What is gain? To Paul, it is Christ. To Paul, even if he dies, he gains. What is gain? All the blessings, all the love, all the grace, everything that Christ gives to us, blesses us, all that He is, it is everything that we can gain in life. You know, we can have everything in life, but yet we have nothing. Right? But yet at the same time, you look at life, we don't have very much, but we have Christ. And we will gain everything. How do you see loss? And how do you see gain? And to me, it's absolutely with eyes that have been enlightened that we would want to look at our own life and ministry and to work towards gain instead. Not, you know, don't focus so much on the things that at the end of the day, it's all lost. What's the point of that? Wherein is the wisdom? Yet at the same time, there's so much for us to gain in Christ. Are we reading His Word? Are we taking time to walk with Him? Are we seeking to serve, to take time to serve? I was very concerned for Timon, very honestly, when I first asked him. I was concerned whether he could give the time to serve the Lord. But I was very glad that he was willing to take up that challenge. And he's proven that it's possible. Even as a lawyer. I know lawyers, you know, the legal profession is very challenging. Sure, we recognize that. But I'm glad that he put himself, heart and mind, into serving the Lord. And he's shown that it's possible to find that kind of balance. It's possible for us to recognize that if we seek to choose to move away that which is lost to that which is gain. There's so much for us to truly, truly profit in life. Okay? Well, let's pray, and then we will go into our groups and take time to think this through so much more. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that we can study your words once again. And we recognize that oftentimes we look at our own lives and through our own perspective, through our own subjective ways, we see life that may not be all that great. In fact, many things that we have included into our lives may be counted as loss. But yet at the same time, we see Paul's example where he moved away all these things that once he thought was gain, but has now been considered as loss so that he can truly gain Christ in his life. Help us, Lord, to have the wisdom to reassess our own lives, to reassess our ministry. What is it that we are seeking to do in our lives? And even as we go into our groups, we pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to be enlightened and to grow that much more so that we can truly live our lives for the gain of Christ. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go into our groups. Now, next week, we will try and find some time. We are also going to have the Mooncake Mid-Autumn Festival, and we're going to perform there. We're going to sing a song. So next Saturday, we will decide on a song. If you have any nice songs about God, you know, about something that talks about faith in God and things like that, okay, you must be Chinese, right? Let us know, and we will work towards it, okay? And then we will try and finish up by 50, by 50? 50? Okay, and then we will celebrate the birthdays for this month. Okay, let's go into our groups.